Now, I mentioned this the other night in a message, and it started a little wheel to rolling. You ever done that, Brother Loki? Started a little wheel to turning, not that man, there's a message there. And so, I pray that there is. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even the Lord. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire and was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight why the bush was not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put up thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now I've always been sort of a strange fella. If you're gonna do something, I believe you ought to do it with your best or not do it at all. If it's not worth your best, it's not worth anything at all. So when I got saved and gave my heart to God, the Sunday night I got saved, I started on a Monday morning an hour prayer meeting before I ever went to work. And I would pray every morning for an hour, and some mornings I'd get carried away, and I'd pray an hour and a half, and there wouldn't be time for any breakfast. And I'd get in the car, and I'd rush the monkey wards and go to work. This one morning, I had prayed for over an hour and a half, and I jumped up from prayer when I looked at my watch and run out of the house just to walk by, got in the car, started to Fort Smith, Arkansas, the Musky Woods, and it had been raining for several days, and I gotta go right to Moffett Bottom, had to get to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and so I was driving to Moffett Bottom, and I looked over in the field, and I saw an old barn that had been sitting there for years. Now, they're still hungry for the things of God. And so, I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull off, and I'm going to go to that barn and see if God's in that barn. And so, I pulled off the road, pulled on to what I thought was a solid little dirt path to the barn, and when I did, the bottom of that car just fell out, and I high bottomed that thing, and so I thought, well, I might as well go ahead and pray. Anyway, I'm stuck. I'm still going to go see if God's out there in that barn. And so I tiptoed up through the mud to get to the barn, rolled me down a bale of hay, and began to bombard heaven, began to pray. Brother, the glory of God had came down am not born, heaven came down again, heal my soul. When I got through, I went back up, looked at the car situation, and Robertson's son, Calvin George, was about 2 miles down the road and around the curve in my hip town. And so I started walking to the salvage yard to get a record to come and to pull me out. And about that time, my ex-boss, Olin Holmes, who was at Forcement Vehicle Company, who happened to be a backslid, a sinless of God preacher, he come by and he stopped the truck and he opened the door and he said, "Tom, what in the world are you doing out there in the field? Stop. Didn't you have sense enough to know how that land was just all black marshy land and it would fall in on you?" I said, "Olin, I didn't even think about that. I stopped to go out there to that barn to pray and see if God was in the barn." And I said, "You know what, Olin, by this time I've shut the door and we'd go about that Highway 64. I said, "You know what, Olin, if God that was in that barn out there, I met him, he come down and he blessed my soul. And before we could get to the Robertson son wrecking yard, had to get me a record, we pulled off beside the road again, and Olin Holmes paid my due, had to God Almighty again." Amen. I thought brother, there's some strange places that you can meet God Almighty. Have you ever met God in a strange place? Well, you didn't think God was even around. All of a sudden, God would meet you in a strange place. I thought about old Moses. It couldn't have been a stranger place than on the backside of the desert. He had been there 40 years going to school, if you please. And he saw all of a sudden a bush that was burning, that wasn't anything strange. That happens all the time in the Middle East, in the desert, because of the extreme heat. The same bush will catch on fire and it'll be consumed. But the strange thing about this was, as the bush burned, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses wanted to see a strange sight like this, and he turned aside. And when he did, God said, "Moses, take your shoes off your feet. Have the ground you're standing on is holy ground." Glory to God. What a place to meet God. In the middle of a desert at a burning bush. It wasn't in a tabernacle. It wasn't in a church. It wasn't with some a priest doing the priestly job. It was on the backside of the desert, in the middle of the sand, amongst a herd of sheep, and that God appeared to Moses and said, "Moses, I've got a job for you. Go down and deliver my children out of Egypt's bondage." Woo! Glory to God. Now, if that man is there any other places where the people in the Word of God have found God in a strange place? Now, thought of old Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. He's done cheated Uncle Laban out of everything he's got, and he's coming back. His brother's mad at him, and so Esau is coming with 400 soldiers, and Jacob is afraid. He splits his company up in two different companies, and one goes one way, one goes the other, and Jacob is left alone on the bank of Brook Jabbok, and there he met face to face, if you please, the Son of the Living God. He says, it says an angel, it does not say an angel, it says a man. And if you study that word man up and trace it down, you'll trace it all the way up to Jesus Christ in the cradle, all the way to the cross, all the way up to the right hand of God the Father. Jacob had met Jesus on the creek bank. He said, you couldn't meet in fishing. Said, I heard you do a speech, man. Man, I'm out here meeting God. He met God on the bank of Brook Jabbok. Not that man. Of all of the people in the Word of God, almost all of them found God in a strange place or in a strange predicament in the book of Daniel chapter 5, had you find three Hebrew children by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that was living for God, faithful to God, serving God. Had you know the thing that disturbs me is that people say, I'm doing all I can do to live for God, and I'm having more trouble than I've ever had in my life. Have you ever done that? When I've been the closest to God's when I've had the biggest mess. Amen. Anybody besides me ever been there? Amen. You see, right in the middle of God's wheel, right in the center of God's wheel, you're running into trouble. Have the disciples, Jesus said, I want you to go to the other side. Have they got in the ship? They obeyed Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus told them to do, and a storm arose, a tempest arose, and the wind beat against them. Could you say they was out of the will of God just because you are passing through troubled waters, and just because you are passing through the fire, and just because you have got a few problems, doesn't mean that God forsook you. It doesn't mean that God has left you. It simply means that you are having to pass through a hard time, but look around, and standing somewhere in the shadow, you'll find a Jesus. Glory to God. Woo! Amen. I get so sick and tired of these positive preachers. Hello, I might have really landed on a rock pile this time. They say if Paul had been as smart as they are, he'd have never had to go through what he went through. Dumb, 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 dumb. Amen. God, if I know what shouts, I'm going to shout anyway. Amen. They was right in the middle of the will of the Lord. And they was in the middle of a storm. But because of the storm, they got to see something that there isn't any of us ever seen and probably never will see. And that if they saw the Master up. And a third hour of the morning, about 3 o'clock a.m., they saw him come marching, walking on the waters, and they saw him say, peace, be still, and the wind and the waves obeying in the middle of the will of God Almighty. They found the glory of the Lord. Man, Lord, three Hebrew boys was doing everything that was right. They'd refuse the king's meat. They'd refuse to bow down to the idol and to the image. And I promise you, if you're not having problems, you ain't living too close to God. Lift your hand now. Thank you. I got amen out of him in the right spot. Thank God, miracles never cease. But if you're not having trouble, you say, you mean to tell me that if I'm going to live for God, I'm going to have problems? I mean to tell you exactly that. I'm not preaching a salvation when you tiptoe through the tulips. You just tell you the story when it's your last time. For me, and I'll tell it again anyway. I was preaching overseas, and I made this statement. It's not going to be all tiptoe through the tulips. Now, only kind of Tim and us Westerners could understand lingo like that. They don't understand that kind of sling overseas. Had they looked at me, I knew I'd lost them. Now, I asked the nice girl, I said, how do I say you can live for God if you want to? It may be difficult, but you can do it. He said, tell them it's not going to be easy to shimmy up a shiny wall. I said, it ain't going to be easy to shimmy up a shiny wall. And they grinned, and I knew I'd had them. When I got through the service, I asked the national. I said, please tell me what I said. When I said, it's not going to be easy to shimmy up a shiny wall, he said, you see that old coconut tree? I said, yeah. He said, see how shiny it is? I said, yeah. He said, when they first put off coconuts, they're scaly. And anybody can shimmy up one of them. But after they've been shimmy up time and time again, year in and year out, they wear the bark off of them. And they get as shiny and slick as a wall. And he said, you can still get the fruit if you're willing. Have to make the effort to shimmy up that shiny wall. Have the fruit is still there. You can get it if you want it bad enough. I said, glory. I said, exactly what I wanted to say. Brother, if you're not having a few problems, and you're not living very close to God. They used to say it like this in Pentecost. If the devil's not after you, he's got you. You remember when you said like that? Amen. These three Hebrew boys was living with God. You thought I forgot where I was at, didn't you? Amen. The three Hebrew boys was doing everything right. Doing everything right. Doing everything right. I've had my worst problem when I'm doing everything right. And I have my least problem when I'm doing everything wrong. Come on. When I quit praying, I don't have too many problems. When I quit reading the Word of God, I don't have too many problems. You know, I've been there time or two. TV took over the praying time. TV took over the reading time. Hello? I know I'm hitting hard now. But when I get right back in the stream of it again, brother, I know when I'm right, I'm having problems. Hello. I'm not talking about a headache, a leg ache. And I'm not talking about domestic problems, because most of you husbands make your own problems. And most of you wives make your own problems. The reason you have problems at home is because you don't work together to do it. Oh, glory to God, that's good preaching. Amen. These three Hebrew boys right in the middle, right in the middle of doing the will of God Almighty. Man, I'm going to do something with this cord. Right in the middle of doing the will of God Almighty. They put them in the fiery furnace. But thank God for the fiery furnace. Thank God for the fiery furnace. If they had never been thrown in the fiery furnace, they would have never have found the fifth man alive. And walking around and losing them that and never have the experience they had without the fiery furnace experience. Glory to God. I thought of old Daniel found God in a strange place. He was doing everything right. Now notice, I'm telling you about people doing everything right. Everything right. And that's when we become the most discouraged, because when we're doing everything right, we figure God owes us something. Well, now you may not be like that, but I figure he owes me something if I'm doing it right. and he pays me off in tribulation. He doesn't, but he allows the devil. Because every time I have a tribulation period, God's knocking off another knot. God's knocking off. Woo! Glory to God. God! Man, he's knocked a lot of knots off you. Knocking a knot off. Every time. I'll get to this later. Daniel was doing everything right, praying three times a day. Made sign to the queen that if you pray into anyone except the king, you're going to go through to the lion's den. I can imagine old Daniel walked in and said, "Hey, which one of you suckers wants to be my pillar?" He said, "It don't say that. You can't prove what he said to them dudes." I don't believe he walked in scared. I don't believe he walked in fearful and shaken, and because he had been serving God. And brother, I want you to know, when you're doing your best and you're going through one of the most trying times, and keep looking to God, because I promise you, God will never fail you. He'll go with you in the fire, in the lion's den. He'll go with you all the way. Glory to God. Amen. Old Daniel laid down on one of them dudes and slept good all night while the king couldn't sleep. And I would venture to say that the fellows that had him thrown in couldn't sleep. Because the next morning the old king come down and said, "Old Daniel, is the God whom you serve able to deliver you?" Daniel said, "Old king, live forever." Man, somebody said the lions wasn't hungry. How come they eat every one of them other dudes when they throw them in? And all their family. Man, there's just something about God. I said there's just something about God. Just something about God. He knows. He knows. He said, "All king, live forever. The God whose I am and whom I serve has sent an angel and has shut through the mouths of the lion." I thank God. I can't understand why, and I've been just as guilty as you. When we get in a trial, the first thing we start doing, hello, hello. Every time you've gotten a trial, you know. You don't understand why, God, I'm doing everything you want me to do. You ever done that, sister? You ever done that? I have. Oh, I have, sure. I want you to be honest. Don't lie to me. My Lord. Have you ever done that? Yeah. And see, and the rest of these people look at you. Oh, my Lord, you've done that. And every one of them suckers are guilty to you. Everyone said he was guilty too. Amen. Lord. Boy, thank God for the problems. Now I've had a lot of them, want to have no more of. But every problem I have now is just as hard for me to climb as it was when I was a young Christian, just getting right, just living for God. The tests are just a little harder now. The trials are just a little stiffer now. They're just a little harder. It takes more praying, takes more fasting, takes more seeking the face of God than it ever has before. But I know this one thing, God's working out perfection for me. Hallelujah! If we can ever get over. You know, most of us, when we have problems, want a pity party. Oh, first thing we'll do, we'll have prayer requests. Wait for me, God. Heaven, really, what they want is somebody to feel sorry for them. Boy, the truth do hurt, don't it? Paul and Silas found God in a strange place, but they was having a revival meeting, Brother Locust, and all of a sudden they had them beaten and thrown in jail. Now the time I think to Paul and Silas, I think they're all in hardest. You ever wonder how I got them two together? I'm going to tell you. Lord always looks over at heart. He says, this is a fine mess you've got us into this time. And I can imagine, he lives within us. We ever looked over and said, Paul, I told you to cool it just a little bit. It was getting too hot. But no, no, now look what a mess you got us into. Hello. Have you ever blamed somebody else for your message? Paul, but instead of getting down and having a pity party, Paul could have patted old Silas on the back and said, yeah, man, we're doing everything right for God. Silas should have said, yes. Buddy, I ain't never heard preaching like you've been preaching lately. Yeah, man, and you've been some real good, done some real good stocking too. You ain't been too good, Dwayne, but have you really been telling them, Paul? Have they should have had a pity party patting one another? How about they didn't? I don't know what they sung. I don't know what hymn it was. It was probably one of the songs. How about what could have been written? How about a song, what can wash away my sin? And nothing. How about the blood of Jesus Christ? Other power, of power, wonder-working power in the blood. Woo! I don't know what they sung, but I know that much of Romans didn't stop revival. They just changed its location. Amen. Because when the jailer, the earthquake happened, everybody in the prison had gotten saved. He said, don't say that. But you show me a prisoner that's got his lock stocks undone and the gates open that won't run away. They'll run away. But when the jailer come in after the earthquake and he would have run himself through with a sword, Paul said, do thyself no harm. All the prisoners are still here. Only they got to have a revival down in the middle of a jail. Hey man, I promise you, in the middle of your trying this hour, God will minister unto you. We haven't been in the ministry. You see, I got saved in October, September, called to preach in October. I was a full-time evangelist in November. And God kicked me plumb out of the church. I don't know sometimes whether that's a blessing or a cursing. But apparently he thought it was a blessing because I've been going steady ever since for nearly 25 years, full time. But I hadn't been in the ministry, it must have been the month of December. We went to Bonanza, Arkansas to preach the Sunday morning, Sunday night. Now I'm full time, understand this. I've quit a good paying job with much reward. Now, I'm full time. I've got a wife and three children. And payments like you ain't never looked at before. Now, I went to Bonanza, Arkansas and preached Sunday morning, Sunday night. That dude never give me one red cent. Never said thank you. Never said kiss my foot. Never said nothing to me. I walked out and got in the car. And I told the wife, on the way home it was raining again. And I told the wife, I said, if that's the way those dummies are, I'm telling you this the way it was, now the way I said it. I ain't never going to preach another lick. I'm sick and tired of them already. You said, well, man, what? Because that was the only way I had of living, was through somebody loving me and taking an offering for me. And they didn't even cheer enough to take an offering for me. So I quit the ministry. I just quit it. Said, I ain't preaching no more. Started home, and almost directly in front of that old barn where I had prayed about 4 months previous, was a dummy standing out there with his thumb out wanting a ride, standing in the rain. I told the wife, I said, look at that idiot. I said, there's a bridge right down there. He could be standing under it, at least be dry. That dummy ain't got sense enough to do that. He's standing out there with his phone out, wanting me to give him a ride. Hello. Come on, I'm telling you just exactly. I'm fixing to lay some heavy stuff on you. Whether you believe it or not, the material to me. Me and my wife know exactly what happened to it. Holy Ghost said, I want you to pick that man up. I said, well, I ain't letting that wet rascal in my car. My car wasn't even paid for. I wasn't going to let somebody wet sit down in my seat. Got about a half mile down the road, and God said, turn around and pick that man up. I looked over at the wife, and I said, I got to go pick that wet sucker up. But she said, go ahead. I turned the car around, went back and passed him and twirled back around, opened the door and said, get in! That's just the way I said it. Get in! Disgusted. Never been that way with God, and then all of a sudden God turned all heaven loose on you. He got in the car, sat down, tore back down the road. First thing he began to talk about was God, the good things of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. Began to tell me all about it. Now here I was, a preacher supposed to have it all right. He was this old wet dude, got in my car. You could see the presence of God just all the way to Marlboro.